This is Building Bridges, your community and labor report, produced and hosted by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash. In December, in an electrifying action, 260 workers at Republic Windows occupied their plant for 6 days in response to the closing of their plant in Chicago. Their militancy and the national support they gained helped them win a partial settlement from Bank of America and Republic's owners.
The workers want severance pay and compensation for unpaid earnings, and now they're in negotiations with a new company to reopen the plant and for the restoration of their jobs. The Republic workers came together with workers from the Stelladoro Workers Company, 135 workers of Stelladoro, the biscuit producers, most of whom are Latina women and immigrants from Asia and Africa, who have been striking to protest the slash of their wages by as much as 25%, exorbitant health insurance premiums, the elimination of holidays, vacations, sick pay, and their pension. Along with the Republic Windows and Doors worker and the Stelladoro strikers were members of Domestic Workers United, who are seeking legislation protecting the rights and dignity of domestic workers placed by employment agencies. Domestic workers have a dream that one day all work will be valued equally. As the economic crisis deepens, millions of people face job loss and foreclosures, but we were able to celebrate the successful resistance at Republic, hear from the workers who made it happen, celebrate the stamina and support the Stelladoro workers, and applaud the organizing of Domestic Workers United.
And now we join the national tour of the UE Chicago sit-in strikers on its first stop in New York City, a community forum, Resistance and Recovery, sponsored by UE Local 110 and Jobs with Justice, with UE Local Vice President Ricky Macklin, UE Field Organizer Mark Meinster, and first up Local 1110 steward Raul Flores.
My name is Raul Flores. I was working at Republic for 8 years. As soon as I got out of high school, that was my first job. It's really hard to lose your first job this way. Actually, I have my second family in there. A lot of people that I met, they're my best friends. It's really hard just to lose my friends. And this struggle began not one day to another. We were fighting years before that. We used to have a corrupt mafia union back then. We went to strike. We lost that time because we were fighting against the union and against the company. But what doesn't kill you makes you strong, and that's what happened to us. We keep fighting. We were looking for a democratic union because that's what we all need, so our voices can hear everywhere. We found UE, and we thought that was the best choice for us. And everybody agreed with that. It was a tough fight, but then we got what we deserve. And then we are working with them. All the workers in there, we have our president or vice president. So actually people run the union because we make the decision. When we start occupying the plant, we start seeing a lot of machines coming out from the factory before Thanksgiving. 39 people got laid off. That was really tough. It was, you know, just the Christmas were coming and all that. So we decided, you know, something's wrong. We got to start acting now. You know, everybody has a family. And that's the point of being working. You got to support your family. We made emergency meetings with a commitment. And we decided to plan it, to occupy the plant just in case that we need it. We say, we got to fight back. We were planning this before. So when the time comes, everybody was ready to do it. And I got to just point this, you know, all the women, they were the strongest than the men. So. Yeah, they were the ones who say, I'm going in. I don't care if I get arrested. So we got to follow them. It was really hard. When we find out on Tuesday, we go to work just like a normal day. And after lunch, they made a big meeting. They told us, we're going to shut down the company on Friday. That's knock you out. You know, it's like they cut your arms. A lot of us were living by check. So you found out that you got no job. And in this situation that we are now, it's not easy to find a job. So it was kind of shock. It was really, really tough. But we decided to fight back because we needed respect. We need everybody to start respecting us. That's why we decided, you know what? This is not going to happen to us again. Because it happened once, so now we got to fight back. And then we get together with the union, and we say, oh, we got to be ready for it. We got to prepare. And the day came. That was on Friday. That day we didn't went to work. They told us to go at 10 a.m. They're going to give us our paperwork, you know, for compensation and all that. But we said, we're not coming at 10. We're going to come at 6. Because that's the time that we started working. Because they've been telling us that we're going to have insurance until December 15. And on Friday they told us, you know what, guys? I'm sorry. Your insurance have been cut off last night. Everybody was upset at that time. And they even told us, we're not going to be able to pay your vacations. We're not going to be able to pay your severals that knock you down. We're like, now what I'm going to do? You know, they don't even want to pay us the week that we already earned. So they told us that to come back next Friday. You say, just come back next Friday, we're going to have your check, but it's not going to be a payroll check. It's going to be a personal check. And that way we say, oh, okay, so we wait here until Friday. Because we saw that they were taking machines out. And we said, well, they took all the machines out on one weekend. If we go for the whole week, nothing's going to be here. So that's why we decided, you know, we're going to stay. Because if we leave, when we come back, maybe you guys are not going to be here. And somebody got to pay us. And they say because Bank of America shut off their credit line. And we said, okay, then we go to Bank of America. Get the pressure on them. And we did. We have a lot of support from all the community. It was great. It was just fantastic. You know, it was great. And we went to Bank of America, have a big rally in front of them. And that time, everybody was united. Everybody inside the plant were together. We said, we're not moving, and we're going to stay here the longest it takes. We were planning the Christmas party already. So if we got to do a Christmas party in there, we're going to do it. Yeah, it was really, really tough. So we said, okay, we don't care if Bank of America doesn't got the money or you guys don't want to pay us, but somebody got to pay us. We don't care who. But, you know, so. On that day, Friday, we were there and we started to make teams. Team were cleaning the floors. We were patrolling the factory because we were protecting what was in there at that time. Because you know, that was our money at that time. If they don't pay it, well, we might sell the machines and we get our money. So we were taking care of everything. That's where the unity comes. That's when we realized that we were not just a regular family. We were a big family. It was really tough. It was really tough because you could see little guys running on the factory, you know, sleeping on the floors. And you can see a lot of people singing. We got a karaoke in there and everything. Yeah. We're playing dominoes. Because we don't want to stress ourselves. It's going to be a fun thing to do. You know. So it's time to everybody just stand up and fight for our rights. You know, it's time just to not sit there and wait for a miracle happen to us. The world's not going to change because we got a new president. It could help us, but we need to do something too. You know, he don't have a magic stick, and he's not going to say, okay, tomorrow everything's going to be better. Because it's not like that. We know that it's not like that. So we got to keep preparing for the big fight. We got to keep on fighting, keep on going. I just want to say that it's time to fight back. We mean it. Fight back. That's how we will all gonna, at the end, gonna have a victory. You know, be united, keep united, and thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm just gonna tell you guys that I think that everybody needs a union. Because if it wasn't for a union, nothing of this couldn't be happening. So I think everybody needs a union. We need to support the Employees Free Choice Act. So thank you. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Thank you, Raul. So now we want to introduce Ricky Macklin, who is one of the vice presidents of Local 1110.
I am humbled to be here. Things are rough. Things are rough. And these employers want to make it rougher. You know what I'm saying? It was strange going against the Bank of America. You know, I mean, that's a giant. And let me tell you a little bit about my history. I'm the only son. It was only me and my sister. I come from Chicago. And many times I went into a fight knowing I was going to get my ass kicked. Had to fight anyway. That's the same type of principle that I applied to this. Sometimes you just got to fight anyway. When we had first gotten to the table with the lawyers and Bank of America, the table from here to the wall, full of all of these white collars. And so I'm just sitting there trying to maintain my peace. And it's just coming up to here. Then finally we had like a 2-minute break. So we're sitting there and all of these lawyers and bankers and politicians, they're discussing what they're going to do for Christmas, where they're going for Christmas. Then that's when it got to here and I just jumped up. I lost it. And I'm going off. And so Mark said, "Ricky, it's okay." And I said, "No, it ain't okay." You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And all of these stiff shirts and stuff, you know, this is serious. I mean, you know, here you are talking about where you're going for Christmas, and I'm wondering, where am I going to even get money to buy my granddaughters something for Christmas? You know what I'm saying? And I think that did help to change the tide of the negotiations. Here in New York, if you make some noise, you'd be surprised. People in Tennessee will make some noise. People in North Dakota will make noise. In Chicago, we'll make noise. That's what happened with us, and it was phenomenal. We started making noise because that's the only way that we're going to get some changes made. They're going to do what they've been doing as long as we allow them to do it. At this point, we're really hopeful on reopening our plant. We are speaking with an employer from California. We've met with him several times. We've met with him down at City Hall. We spoke with members of the city and the state building commissions. We did a tour of our plant. As a matter of fact, we have another meeting with them to negotiating our contract. But in the event that fall through, the job situation is bleak out here. So at this point, if this doesn't make it, then we'll seek other jobs. A lot of our members have started different job training programs. I mean, because life goes on. So we just have to continue to try to live. Yesterday, I had the honor of speaking with the domestic workers. I'm from Chicago, and it f***ed me off. We at UE this summer, we're going to take some of the energy, all of the energy that we got from our struggle with Republic, and we're going to start trying to reach out to all the non-union people in the factories and the warehouses, because I am a union man, make no mistake about it. None of this victory would have been possible had we not had a union. But today I realize that this fight is more than just about union. It's about people's rights. We all deserve to be treated fairly. I have to say that at Republic, even with our contract and our union, they still was trying some horrendous stuff. So if you don't have a union in place, oh my God. So this summer, you're welcome to come to Chicago and be part of this fight. Because it's not just our fight. It's not your fight. This is all of our fight. And the outcome of this fight affects your kids, your grandkids, and your way of life. I would also have to say about the struggle. We made the decision to go to jail. That was a weird decision for me. I mean, truthfully, I made some bad choices and decisions that sent me to jail. But for me just to get up in the morning and say, oh, I'm going to jail, that was not easy for me. And I'm married, so this wasn't just my decision. I discussed this with my wife and let her know, and she thought I was crazy. She said, you've lost your job, your insurance, now you're going to jail? Do you want to lose your wife too? But it has to be larger than that, because it's about my dignity. And certain things you can take from me, and I have no choice in the matter. You know what I'm saying? My money, my job, my insurance. But when it comes to talking about taking my dignity, my honor, you got to fight. We've all got to fight. And let me also say that I would like to acknowledge all of the Cerrador workers in the house. I woke up this morning with you guys on my mind, I'm telling you. I understand your fight and your struggle. And it's a lot of people here in New York. Y'all got to start rallying behind these people. You know what I'm saying? Only when we stick together. Because what affects one affects all. And again, this is my first time here in New York, and I will never forget this. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Anytime you have a big struggle, a strike, or any kind of militant action, people start talking and thinking about things that they don't ordinarily think about. And one of the things that people started talking about during the occupation was, what would it take for us to run the factory? And so people started having a real discussion about that. The factory basically runs on its own anyway. I mean, they don't really need supervisors in there. They basically came to the decision. The problem was there was only about 3 days of raw materials in the plant, and the cost to purchase the assets would be about somewhere between $10 and $15 million. One of the reasons, I guess, why finding another buyer is more of a possibility than building a worker cooperative is we don't have a movement of worker-owned enterprises in the United States. And hopefully this can be a spark to develop that throughout the United States. So that remains a possibility if there's not another way to reopen it. But I really do think it calls for the development of a real movement and some thought that needs to be put into that. Well, we've got incredible support, like these guys have said, from all over the world. You know, one of the things that we really drew on in this struggle and this strategy leading up to the struggle was international support. So we actually drew on those relationships before the occupation, in part because there's nobody you can really talk to in the United States. Well, there's some people you can talk to, but there aren't that many you can talk to who've been through a plant occupation. So we reached out to trade unionists in Canada on some of the real tactical advice around how to do an occupation. And we drew a lot from the experiences in Venezuela and Argentina and Brazil around how an occupation actually happens. The leader of the local, Armando Robles, actually went to the World Social Forum in Caracas, Venezuela, and was able to connect with some workers from recovered factories in Venezuela. So a lot of the inspiration really came from international connections that we built over the years. We're a union that really believes in international solidarity, as many of you know, and I don't know that this would have happened without that link. And then, of course, once the struggle really came to the fore, there was support from all over the world. There was a lot of things that played into the moment that led to the victory. I've been trying to do this for like 10 years, and every other group of workers we talked to about this thought, you know, this was a crazy idea, because 2 years ago they would have made a rational decision to go find another job. But this group made a rational decision to stay and fight. And even though it's a fighting group of people with a long history of struggle, you know, the conditions played a role, and part of that was the feeling of political change in the country. The other piece of this, too, is the way the struggle, you know, the way once this thing got big that politicians ran on board with it. I mean, we had lines of politicians outside the plant. And, you know, it was like nothing we've experienced or probably ever will experience again. So, well, at least for the most part. But, you know, that speaks to, I think, where the country is at. And so there is certainly that element of people feeling that there's something in the air and that the times we're living in are different. I think, though, as organizers and as activists, we do need to understand that we're living in a time where bold action is possible, and we can win support for bold action in a way we couldn't win a year ago or 2 years ago. And we can either let this moment fly by, or we can use a spark like what these guys did and fan the flame.
Joyce, you want to come up and speak about the domestic worker struggle? You want to kick us off into the local action piece with that?
I'm a proud member of Domestic Workers United, a former nanny and now a full-time organizer. Domestic Workers United is an organization made up of nannies, housekeepers, elderly caregivers. We are organizing to fight for respect, fair labor standard, dignity, recognition, and to end exploitation. We look after the people's prized possessions, enabling them to go about their professions and also to have leisure time. But yet, we are treated less than human beings. Within New York and the metropolitan area, we have over 200,000 domestic workers. These workers are isolated within the homes. Being isolated, the unthinkable happens. They are exploited and abused physically, sexually, and emotionally. Ever since the day of slavery, when people were brought into this country and the women were placed to work in the homes and the men were placed in the fields, that exploitation existed. And today, these two groups of people remain excluded from the labor laws of this country, which is a downright shame. Unity is power, and we are organizing to build that power. The power to enable us to have guidelines and protection. Guidelines that will come into place that will see that we have paid vacation, which we don't have, sickness benefit, notice prior to being fired, severance pay. Because here we are. We can work in these jobs for 12, 15 years, and then these folks walk in a day and say to you, we don't need your service any longer. And there you go on your jolly way. You're grown old. You cannot find another job, and yet there's no severance. So that's what we are fighting for. I term this as a fight for women of color, immigrants who are out there struggling to make an honest dollar and are exploited by people who know better and can do better and are exploiting us. And I say it is about time. We've had it. We are journeying to Albany. We are going up to meet with the legislators to have meetings with them to see if we can have the bill passed. Please contact domestic workers at 212-481-5747. The number again, 212-481-5747. Thank you.
Sarah Rodriguez with the Senator of Workers.
Hi, everyone. I just want to start with you guys. You are an inspiration to us. On August 13, we were forced to walk out and strike because the owners, Brimewood Partners, they didn't want to sit on the table. What they offer, it was terrible. They want to eliminate 12 sick days. They want to take 1 week vacation pay. They want us to pay 20% of medical insurance. They also want to take a holiday, which we couldn't accept that. And 135 families were forced to be in the streets for 5 months and a half. And we are decided that none of us have crossed the line. And yes. We decided to stay together, stood together to the end, and it's been 5 months and a half. It's been very hard, especially now in the winter. but we have no choice. We had to let these investors know that they cannot just break a union like this. We have to stay together. Well, that's what they are. They are union breakers. Yeah. And we have a community support. We had a rally, and I recognize a lot of these faces over here. They came to support us. We also want to ask all of you, if you can talk to your family, to your friends, to boycott Estella Dora products. That's the only way we can win this fight, by boycotting the cookies, make a damage to them until we get a fair contract. We'll have a website you can get and download. There's a letter that you can take to your supermarket. Give to your family and give them a letter saying not to buy their product. And that's the only way we can win this fight. We really thank you so much for your support. And we hope we win this fight. When we stick together, we're going to win this fight.
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our new website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.